Daf Nun Zayin. Today is the last daf of the fourth parak of Makom Shenagu, and the Gemara begins three lines down. The Gemara says, "Tani Rabbanan Bein Ben Bohoyan Nasan Peyalier, the son of Bohoyan. Not sure exactly how to pronounce his name, Bohoyan or something. He gave Peah on Yarek and vegetables. Now, even though Yarek is not Chayv in Peah, he did it nonetheless. Uba Aviv, the father came. Bohoyan himself came." That they were collecting the yarek on the corners of the field, and they're not really chayv, and he had no obligation to pay the payer. So Amar Lehem, he says to them, "Bini hishlichu me'aleichem, throw, my dear child, throw the payer back into the field. Vani nosenachem kaflayim b'musar, and I'm going to pay you back double of grains that already ma'aser was taken." I mean, what was going on here? The Indian is that payah. Peah is pater from Meiser. But when there's no real Peah, like in this case, there's no Peah for Yerek, so the truth is Yerek is really Chayv Meiser, it's really Tevil, you have to take Meiser on Yerek. So right now they took Peah and from Yerek, and it's really Chayv Meiser, it's really Tevil, so I'm going to do you a favor, give me back the Peah, and then I'm going to pay you back double with grains that already were Meusar, which are completely permitted. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, for Keflaim Meiser, Ani nosin lachem Keflaim sheish lachem achsha Peah, I'm going to pay you back, put back the yarek, I'll pay you back double what you took, and plus I'm going to give you back that which is miser, not subject to miser, that's not tevel anymore. So Rashi says further, ain't no sin pay yarek, mishum de mafkale mi miser, dechsivu ba levi ki ain lo chelik menachle imach, mi she ain lo nachlemcha, chayv lo aser, yatze peh she eshel nachlemcha, de hefker ninu. So the din is by payer really, Peah is really pater from Levi, from Pemaiser Rishon, which goes to Levi normally. So if you were to give now Peah from Yerek, you're now taking away what would have otherwise went to the Levi. Meaning, if I'm the farmer, so I take Maiser Rishon from my vegetable. But now it's Peah, and the Anim are getting it, that means it's not going to the Levi anymore. The Levi is, in fact, losing out. That's Rashi's concern here. Levi's losing out. Now, Rashi, earlier, told on a different daf, he said, the concern is not because Levi's losing out, rather it's because of Anim are getting to a problem. Because when they're taking Peah from Yerek, it's actually Tevil. They don't know it's Tevil, and they're eating it without having separated Meiser. So the two concerns here, one is the Levi's losing out, and one is the Anim are violating an Isser of Tevil. Either way, he said to them, put back the vegetables, I'm going to pay you double the amount of Chulin that's already Mu'usar. And the Gemara explained, Lo mipnei she'enei tzara, not because he was stingy, didn't want to help the anim. El mipnei she'amru chachamim ein nosin peah liyarek, because as we just saw in Rashi, there's no din of peah when it comes to yarek. So the Gemara wants to know now, lama le lememra delay lo mipnei she'enei tzara. Why did the Gemara add that point here? It was a maisa. Why do they have to say that? Don't think that Bohyon was a stingy. He wasn't stingy. What was it needed to add that in? So the Gemara says, ki heichi delo lemei dechuya dechamat chilan. So the Aniyim shouldn't say that, oh, he's just pushing us off. He's going to just take the vegetables back. He's not going to pay us back. He's not going to keep his end of the deal. He said, no, guys, listen, just trust me. Put the vegetables back. I'm not a stingy guy. I'm going to pay you back. Trust me. He was just trying to reinforce where he's coming from, that he was an honest guy who was trying to do the Matova, and he ended up paying back double. Now look at Tosas on the top here. Tosas asks a question, Ela mipnei she'amru chachamim ein peah liyarek, vim tomar mikol makom liftar mimaiser mipnei shefkirim behefker pata mimaiser. So granted that this is not Peah. Peah is pater from Meiser, but so too is Hefker. Hefker is also. So this was not a din of Peah, but it was a din of Hefker. And when you're mafki your property, Hefker is also pater from Meiser. So it should be pater at least from din Hefker. So tells the answer, V'yesh lomar, ki beis Hillel. This holds like beis Hillel. What's beis Hillel's opinion? The Amrin of Mesech is Peah. Einu Hefker ad sheyufkar laniyim ula shirim. If a person makes something hefker just for anim, and if you made something peah, which is just for the anim, that's not considered hefker. It has to be available bein la'anim and bein la'ashim, and therefore it did not fall into the category of hefker, and it would be ein hachanami chayiv in Meiser. Now, Tosas gives another suggestion. Go a few lines down in this very Tosas. He says, inami, alternatively, afilo beis shammai. Beis shammai actually holds that if you're mafker something, even if it's only for anim to get, that is considered hefker. So if this was considered a peah to anim, which is in essence a hefker to anim, so why then are they chayv and meiser? So Tosas answers, inami, afilu beishamai di alfinan mi peah visavre de hefker lanim hefker. In other words, what's the basis of hefker in general? So beishamai says hefker is learned out from peah. Peah is only miyuchad for anim, so hefker, that is also miyuchad lanim, also works. Hefker is modeled after peah. payas franim. So hefker franim also works. So if this is hefker, even though it's not payas, it should at least be hefker and pater from meiser. So Rashi Tosa says in the parentheses here, hacha, in this case, it's mechayiv mishum de hefker betos habe. This was a hefker betos. He didn't intend on it being hefker. He intended on it being payah. And since it's not payah because there's no payah by Yerek, you can't just have it fall back onto hefker because he did not have in mind to be hefker, and that's why it didn't work. But Einachanami, if the guy had in mind to be mafker just tanim, according to Beishami, it would work and it would be potter from Meiser.
And we can't rely on tanim to give Meiser because they are Meiretz, is that what it is? They could have said, listen, just know that this is not payah and just take Meiser.
It could have been that way, but still, Rashi's other concerns, the Levim lose out,
right,
so they make effort maybe here. Yeah, it could be a lot of confusion would go on that way. So then the Gemara says 10 lines down or so, Tanya Rabbanan Barishona, initially, Hayumanichan Oros Kachim, Belishchas Beis HaParva. And the way it used to work was when they had a karban, so all the different skins and hides from the animals, the quan would split. So they place, Oros for the Kachim, the Lishchas Beis HaParva, Le'erv, the evening, Hayumachalkin Osan La'anche Beis Av. The way it worked was the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, the quan would work there. There was the Mishmar, and there was the Anche Beis Av. The Mishmar was each week, there was a whole family of Kohanim would work for the week. Each one would have their 24 Mishmaros, and each one would get around 2 weeks a year. And Pesach and Sukkot, everyone was able to come. So that means you knock out those 2 weeks, Pesach and Sukkot, and then there are 48 weeks left over in a Jewish calendar, right? The 354 days in a Jewish calendar. That's 50 weeks plus 4 days, 50 weeks, minus 1 week for Pesach, 1 week for Sukkot, that's 48 weeks left. That means each Mishmar, that 24 weeks, each one got 2 weeks to work throughout the year. Fine. So during the Mishmar, each day of the week was a different Beis Av, a different family of that larger family. So whoever was the Beis Av, Anche Beis Av that day, the evening, they would collect all the hides and they would divide it amongst themselves. Again, Le'erev Hayu Mechalkinos on the Anche Beis Av. Sometimes it was a very busy week and sometimes it was a very quiet week, depending on whatever that lot was that week. That's how they divided it up. And then, the Hayu Bali Yisraos, No Linoson Bizar. They're always like the strong bullies within the family. They'd always beat everyone up, and they'd take the skins, and were the weaker guys would get nothing that day. So they made a takana. Hiskinu shayu mechalkinos on me'erv Shabbos le'erv Shabbos. You know what? They waited until the end of the week. Why the end of the week? Because the asin kula mishmaros. Now the entire large family came. It's much harder to be a bully when there are 500 people there than there are only 50 people there. So they figured more people there, harder to be a bully, and it was able to be divided much easier. And Shaklim Bahadade, they divided it in an even way. Adain Hayu Gedola Kuna No Linoson Bizar. But still, there are some very prestigious Kohanim that were there, and they took advantage of their power, and they went ahead and took even at the end of the week. So what do they do in the end? So then, Amdu Balim Vikdishim L'Shemayim. So the owners came ahead, they're Makdish L'Shemayim. Machlokis, different Rishonim. Who was Makdish? It was the owner of the Yisrael who brought it, or maybe the Kohanim who were the ones who collected it. Someone was Makdish the Oros L'Shemayim, and even though these people would steal, they were Makbid on Me'ila. Right? You have some interesting things where they were Makel by one Isser, but Machmir by a different Isser. They're very Makel by Gzela, but they weren't, they were very Machmir by Me'ila. So once they're Makdish it, the Baal Yisrael, so the Gedolei Kuna, wouldn't touch it at that point, and it was all designated to Hekdish. So now, when something's hektish, what do you do with hektish skins? The only way to do it is somebody else with money has to pay for it to use the skin. So a lot of money ends up going to the Beis HaMikdash now because people were buying the oros all week long. So what happened was, the Gemara says, Lo amru, lo hayu yomim muatim, not many days passed, ad shechifu es haheichel kulba tablal shazov. There was so much money now coming into the Beis HaMikdash to buy back these oros, they ended up covering the entire heichal with plaques of gold. Shein amal amma, each one was the size of an amma by amma, huge plaques of gold throughout the Beis HaMikdash. Ko'ove dinar zov, the thickness of a golden coin. Ula regel, every single one of the shlosh regalim, hayimakalpan osod manichan osama agave mala, they take them out and show them behar bias, that show everyone, look at the gold plaques, the plaques they had inside the Beis HaMikdash, kideshu oli regalim roen shemlachtan noe vein bem dalim. So the people who walked up to behar bias would see how much wealth there was, how beautiful the Beis HaMikdash was, and there was no lack of any money, there was no poverty at all in the Beis HaMikdash.
On the other side, the Kohanim lost their fortune also.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So then the Gemara says, Tana Abashal Omer, Karosh Shel Shikma. So now we're talking about people who would, certain bullies and people take advantage of their power, strength, and money. So the Gemara says in a similar fashion, Tana Abashal Omer, he said, Karos shel shikma hayu biyericho. They had big, big trees, sycamore trees, and wood and lumber in Yericho. But hayu bali zeros snotli nosan bizar. And the ganavim will go ahead and take them. They take them for people's property. So amdu balim v'kdishim l'shamayim. So the only really way to do this was to makdish it, so people wouldn't steal, and at least the Beis Hamikdash would benefit financially from this. So again, amdu balim v'kdishim l'shamayim aleim. They were makdish all the sycamore trees. Val kayotu behem. In a similar way, Amr ba Abashal. Abashal said, Ben Bitnis Mishim Abba, in the name of Abba Yosef Ben Chanin, oily me base Baitus, oily me lasan. Woe to me from the house of Baitus. We'll see at the end that he was a Kohen Gadol, as were all the ones we're about to mention, are Kohanim Gadolim. Oy from him, woe to him from his family. Rashi says he was a Kohen Gadol Hayu. And Rashi says the first wide line down, V'chein Kulam, all the ones we're going to list, Hayu Len Avadim Chamasim, Chamasis to steal. V'choftin Sa'am, they would, the servants would really take advantage of their power and hurt the people, hit the people, and steal from the people. And Rashi says, Alasan Makaloseim, the makil, the sticks. Kemo lo ba'alav lo b'romach b'mesecha Shabbos. So the Gemara says again, Oy lo mi beis baitis, oy li me alasan, from their sticks. Furthermore, oily mi beis chanan was another Kohen Gadol. Oily mi lechishasan, they would actually speak bad about people or give bad advice. Hashes yotzei ra. Oily mi beis kitrus, oily mi kulmusan, they would write things, terrible things about people. Oily mi beis yishmo ben piachi, oily mi agrofon, they're from their fists. They're very strong and they beat people up. All these people listed shehem Kohanim Gadolim. So they are the Kohanim Gadolim. Their sons were the treasurers. The Chasneim, their sons in law Amrachim, were the governors. And their servants hit everybody. So this was a families of power, power and money. And therefore, it's the mafia. That was the unfortunately the story many times in the Beis Hamikdash having to do with the Kohanim Gadolim. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure. he was, but could be the people around them weren't so good. We'll see in a second just an example of another Kohen Gadol just like this.
Between the first and second.
I'm not sure. I don't know. Tani Rabbanan the Braisa says.
Yes, so that's at this probably between the first and the second. No, because it's.
I'm not sure. Okay, let's go. Tani Rabbanan, Arba, Tzvachot, Tzavcha, Ezra, Azara. There are four screams, calls, that the Azara screamed out. Rishon, the first one was, Tzumikan, B'nei Eli, Shetimo Heichashem. Please get out, B'nei Eli, the children of Eli. They contaminated the Beis Hamikdash. How are they contaminated? So Rashi quotes the pasuk at face value. Was a pretty disgusting act. Rashi says, Shetimo Kedichsev Asher Yishkvun Es Hanashim. They were sleeping with other people's women, other people's wives. Now, the Gemara Numa says it wasn't meant to be taken literally. What it means there is that it would actually delay the bringing of the carbon yoledes, which meant that the wife was usher to the husband for longer than it had to have been. They delayed it. So that's what the Gemara says, Asher Yishkun Tzanashim, in that area is where they faulted. And the Gemara's in the Rashana talk about how Bnei Eli were cursed not to live long lives. So the Beis Hamikdash had one tzavcha. They screamed out, Bnei Eli, Shetimu Heich Hashem, they should leave. Old tzavcha, another calling out of the Beis Hamikdash of the Heichal. Tzei mikan, take out of here, Yisachar ish kfar brakai, shemechad mechabed es atzmo, umechal kach shemayim. They should kick him out as well. Why'd they kick him out? Tavek karech yadeh b'shirai, he would wrap his hand in silk, v'avid avoda, and you do the avoda. So what's the problem with that? Rashi writes three lines up from the bottom here, karech yadeh b'shirai, v'chatzitza posels b'kachim. You have to hold on to the kalim directly, whatever you're doing, and you can't have a chatzitza. He would wear gloves, a silk glove. The coin must take it directly without there being any chatzitza. It's disgraceful to do such a thing. The person shouldn't do this. Now, the Be'er Sheva adds there should be an additional problem here also of yisur begadim, which means wearing extra begadim. The coin's only allowed to wear four begadim. Now, he wore a fifth begad of wearing a glove. That would be an additional problem that Rashi doesn't even mention. Now, Toz asks a question. He says, we find by the Gemara in Masechah Sukkah that you actually are allowed to have a glove of some sort to hold the lulav, and that is not a chatitza. So how come by the lulav, wearing a glove is not a chatitza, but by the Beis Hamikdash, it is a chatitza? So Rashi already alludes to one of the answers, not Tosas here, but Tosas in the Sukkah says, because it's a gzeres hakasav by the avoda, lokach ha-kohen. The kohen must take directly, even if it's lakachtem lachem by Yom Rishon by Sukkah, it doesn't say lakachtem ha-ish. Doesn't have to see that the person has to directly touch it. You're allowed to have a chatzitza when it comes to a lulav, but not by the Beis Hamikdash. But Tosas here gives a different answer. Tosas writes, if you look at Dibur Maskil, the Karach Yada Bishirai. He quotes from Rashi, Perish Bekuntris, V'chatzita poselis bekachim, d'chziv lokach ha-koin ba'inan, shetei l'kicha be'atzmo shakoin. He has to directly touch the kelim. Fine. V'im Tomer asks, so says, V'hal gavi lulav lo aminir haku, we don't say this in Perek Lulav HaGazel. Gavi lo linkart inish lulav besudra. A person should not hold the lulav with the sudra, with the handkerchief. Rav Amar, l'kicha ha'idei davar acher, shmo l'kicha. Rav says, you're allowed to, even though you're not directly holding the lulav, you're holding it on through something else, that's allowed. So how come that's not a chatzita, but here it is a chatzita? So Tosis here answers, v'ter tzri, the Hasa Mairi over there is talking about bo'oches ha'lulav ha'idei sudar. He's holding the lulav through the extension of a handkerchief. Kein tzavas, kagon shekar ha'lulav besudar, you're wrapping the lulav around with the handkerchief, Vochid besudar, shesudar misayao lahachzak, it helps you hold it. So this is the difference. Okay. It's not simply a chitzit, it's an agud of some sort. It's not where it's a chatzita, it's actually enabling you to hold it properly. It's helping you. Not that's a chatzita. If you're just not wearing a glove by a lulav just to hold it, you don't want to touch a lulav, and a chanami, that's a problem. If you're wrapping something around it, some type of eged, where it's enabling you to hold it, that would be acceptable. But here, he wasn't wearing the glove to allow you to hold it. He was wearing the glove because he didn't want to get dirty. So either way, that was the second tzvacha of the Azara that they screamed out that this individual, Yisachar, Yishkfar Braka, should leave the base of Mikdash. Now the third tzvacha, the Gemara says, V'od tzvacha, ha'azara, su sharim rasheichem, open up your gates, v'yikanesh Yishma ben Piachi, let him come inside, tamido shapinchas, v'yishamesh bekuna gadolo, let him serve as the Kohen Gadol. Rashi says, and this is why it might be still Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, I don't know if it is, but it might be, as Rashi says, last two narrow lines in the, two lines on the page rather, Yishmael ben Piachi, kasher haya, aval anche beso hayu bali zroa. He himself was a kasher individual, he was a Kohen Gadol, even though his family was somewhat of a mafia, he was quite acceptable. And then the fourth one, the Gemara says, the fourth tzvacha, vod tzvacha ha'azara, su sham rashechem yikanis yochanan ben nearby, tamido shel pinkai, v'yimalik kriso mikatsha shemayim, let him fill up and eat all the karbanos that needs to be eaten there. Amru Alav, it says about al yochanan ben nearby, he had quite the appetite. She ochel shlosh meos agam, he would eat 300 calves, and shosa gimel meos garba yayin, and 300 kegs of wine, v'ochel arbam sa gozos b'kinuach suda, and for his dessert, he'd have 40 little chicks. So Amru Koyamov Shayochan ben Nirbai, in his entire life, Lo Nimsa Nosa ben Mikdash. There's no problem of Nosa because he came and cleaned up shop there. So they praised him for doing so. It was all L'shem Shemayim, and he was the fourth Svach he was Zocha to have being yelled out from the Azara. Now, Gemara wants to know, back to one of the stories we mentioned earlier, my Salka Bei Yisachar Ishkfar Brakai. Whatever happened to this guy who would wear that silk glove to do the Avoda? What was his end? So Amar, they said, the Malka Umakasa, the king and queen were once talking. Have a yasri, they're sitting down, and they said, Malka Amar Gedia Yai. That the Gedi, the kid goat, is a more muvcher type of animal. Umalkasa, the queen, said, Amra, Imra, no, it's the little sheep, the little lamb that was more chashiv. So, Amri Man Muchach, so who's going to tell it to us? Who's going to answer the machlokas we're having? So, Kohen Gadol, the Kamasik Karbanos, Koyoma. So, let's bring the Kohen Gadol. He's involved in Karbanos every single day. He must know whether it's a sheep or kid goat is better. So, Asa Iu, so he came. When he posed the question to him, Achve Biyade, he pointed with his hand, and Rashi says, Achve Biyade, Blashon Tzchok. He kind of like threw him away, and he answered, I Gedi Yai, Yasik Letamida. If it's true that the goat was better than the sheep, the lamb, he'll let the Gedi be the carbon Tamid. But we know the Kevesh is the one brought, not the Gedi. So he kind of threw away the king and said, what a silly answer you gave. And the king wasn't too pleased with him. So Amar Malka, the king says, Ho v'lo habilei emasa de malchusa. Since he doesn't have any fear of the king, nifsiku liyimane, let's cut off his right hand. So the Gemara says that Yav Shochat, he paid, he bribed the people who were going to punish him, and Apaski l'smol, and they agreed to cut off his left hand. So Shama Malka, the king, heard that he paid money to have his left hand cut off, or I'm not sure, thumb or the hand. So then it says, I think it's a whole hand. So then king heard Shama Malka, who possibly mina, he says, he cut off his right hand as well. So he lost both of his hands. That was his punishment, mida kenegamida, for wearing gloves while doing the avoda. So Amar of Yosef, said, Baruch Rachmana, thank God, the Ashklei li Yisachar, Ishkfar Brakai, the Mitchavisei Minei Bahai Alma, thank God that Kadosh Baruch Hu punished him in this world for doing this. And now the interpretation is that this world sounds like, so he should be benefited in Schar in the Olam Haba, but the way the Mepharshim say, no, he was punished in this world because he deserved to, and Chassam Tover says to teach a lesson to all the other Kohanim not to wear gloves when doing the Avoda. So So then Amar Ravashi, Yisachar Ish Kfar Brakai, Lo Tana Masis, and he clearly didn't learn Mishnah. Had he learned Mishnah, he would know the answer would be different than he had given. He said that the lamb was more chashiv than that of the kid goat. So had he learned the following Mishnah, the Tana Mishnah, Maseches Krisus teaches us that Rabbi Shimon Omer Kvasim Kodmin Le'izim, that sheep are prior to goats. It's always mentioned keves before izim. B'chol makom, every pasuk it says the kvashim before the izim. B'chol makom yachol mipnei shemuvcharim b'mina, maybe because they're better. Tamalom, the pasuk says not because they're better. Im keves yavi karbano, that if you want you could bring that. Milamed sheshneim shkulim kechad im, if you want to. Not that you're chayev to, but if you want to, it's an option. Had he learned this mishnah Maseches Krisus, he would have known that they're both right. They're both equally as good. Ravina Amar, even worse than that, not only did he not know Mishnahs, but afilu mikra nami lo kari, he didn't even learn psukim. The chesiv, it says in the pasuk very clearly, in kesev or in keves, im eiz, you have the option of bringing which one, e by keves lysi, e by eiz lysi. He could choose to bring the keves or the eiz, and he would have known that pasuk, he would have answered properly, would not have lost his hands. But this was the punishment for doing it. Let's quickly recap before we hajin on this parak here. The Gemara, we start off by saying that giving pay on the Yerek, you're not chayiv to give pay on the Yerek, and the mice of Buhayon who gave the asked for the pay back, and he paid back the chulin that was Musar Kaflaim. Then we discussed the how they used to divide the hides in the base of Mikdash. They used to do it every single day, and the Baal Zoros took it, then they did it every single week, and the Gdol HaKuna took it every week, and then they said they're Maktishit Teshmaim and used the money to line the inside of the base of Mikdash with gold. And then we had Abba Shaul who listed all the Kohanim who were very, very part of this mafia, whereby Oi from that house and Oi from their, the way they'd speak bad and give bad advice, and they would write bad things about a person, and they would hurt the people. And then we discussed the four different Tzvachos that screamed out from the Azara. One was about Bnei Eli that were Matami, the Beis HaMikdash. One was about Yisachar Ish Kfar, who wrapped the silk around the sand. The third one was about the Yishma ben Piachi, who was a great Kohen Gadol. And the fourth one was about the Yochanan ben Nirbai, who ate all the food. There was never any Nosar. And then the final Maisa of the story of the king and the queen, which one was better, the goat or the lamb. And we'll stop here. And everyone have a wonderful day. Mitzvah Shem, we'll start tomorrow a long 40-day carbon. Hajjanullah.